have changed beyond all recognition. But first, let's have a look ahead to whether you can believe anything you hear at this time on Monday.
Frogs don't drink water. In Moldova, candles outsell milk.
Finding the facts among the fabrications with David Mitchell.
That is exactly what someone has done.
Yes.
No, that's not true.
No.
That's absolutely correct. That's not true.
little fast finger, Lucy.
With panellists including Tony Hawkes, Holly Walsh and Lucy Porter.
Well, let's see what happens next, shall we?
The new series of The Unbelievable Truth with David Mitchell.
They'll be laughing on the way home.
Monday night, 6:30 comedy on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
But now, Joanna Lumley and Roger Allen star in the award-winning comedy as a happy, long-married couple. And this week, they're visiting old friends.
Conversations from a Long Marriage
by Jan Etherington,
starring Joanna Lumley
and Roger Allen.
Too many broken hearts have fallen in the river. Too many lonely souls have drifted out to sea.
Episode 5, Losing the Way.
The things we do for love. The things we do for love.
Over here.
I am not a border collie.
Oh, I know. I've trained a border collie, but I've had no luck with you.
Hello, darling.
Hi. Your Americano's getting cold.
Sorry, they were really busy.
Hair looks nice.
Thank you.
I thought you were having it cut a lot shorter.
I wanted to, but Tori said she wouldn't do it because she knows you like it long and rippling.
Did she really say that?
No, I said that made her laugh.
Oh, you're a terrible flirt.
I think I've got a good one.
You have to be careful what you say these days.
When someone's pressed up against you, massaging your head, it's counterintuitive to ask if she's seen the cricket scores. Best to be lightly amusing.
You sure she doesn't think you're a pervy old git?
Certainly not. I'm her favourite client.
That's because you're an OMGH. Older man, great hair.
Did you just make that up?
I might have done.
It's rather cumbersome, but I like it.
You're in good company. Michael Douglas, Melvin Bragg, Hugh Grant.
Chewbacca?
He was a Wookiee, not a man. And I'm not sure he reached old age.
And neither have I.
Was that a flounce?
Tori used a special product this time.
To tame your mane?
It can get out of hand.
Stop flinging it around.
Feels nice.
Hey, talking about people looking in windows...
I'm not looking at myself in the window.
I think we both know you are. Anyway, I was walking past John Lewis and I glanced in the big window and there was an old woman staring right back at me.
Oh, never mind.
Get off, what are you doing?
It's upsetting when that happens.
Well, what happens?
Seeing ourselves as others see us.
You thought I was looking at my own reflection.
Weren't you?
Do I look like an old woman?
Oh, no, of course not. I just think... No, I don't think anything. I will never think again. Once more, I have tripped and fallen face down in the marital minefield.
It was Barbara. She was waving.
Barbara who?
She stayed at my flat for 6 months when she was doing her secretarial course for the civil service.
Oh, yes, Miss Moneypenny.
She remembered you calling her that. Do you know, I haven't seen her since then.
You didn't have a lot in common. She was quite sensible and focused.
It's true, we never ran out of milk or cornflakes when Barbara was there.
Did you say she recognised you?
Yes. Why wouldn't she?
Crikey.
What do you mean, crikey?
I mean, nothing, just a spontaneous, ill-judged trigger response, instantly regretted, but it has been a while.
She thinks I look just the same.
As what?
As I did when she saw me on Instagram, next to Rick's at his book launch last year.
Oh, right. I thought she meant you hadn't changed since you were 19. And by golly, you're still that carefree, barefoot teenager in my eyes.
Oh, stop waffling. I went in and spoke to her. I had to. She was trying on a batwing cardigan in a kind of pale vomit. I couldn't bear it. I steered her towards more flattering rose pink. And then she asked me to take a selfie of us because she doesn't know how to do it. Look.
Wow. Did you say she was the same age as you?
She's a few months younger.
She actually looks really very...
Careful.
Very, very much older than you.
Is the right answer.
She could be your mother.
All right, don't overdo it.
Just happy I've stumbled out of the minefield into the sunny uplands at last.
I was telling Barbara we were off to Orkney and what a huge drive it is to Scotland, and she said, Why don't you stop off and see Ray and Paula?
The Mick and Marianne of Tooting Beck.
Apparently they've just moved to York.
To do what? Open a swingers sanctuary? Has she seen them?
No, but Barbara was always the one who kept in touch with everyone from the old flat. So she gave me their contact details. What do you think?
I don't think my liver could stand a night with those two. It hasn't recovered since 1973 when they drove us to Istanbul. Took about a month in that crazy Cadillac DeVille.
Their guitars filled the boot. We could hardly take any clothes.
I don't remember you wearing much.
And we kept stopping off to stay with friends of theirs.
Who turned out to be children of the crowned heads of Europe.
Yes, there was a palace, a couple of castles.
And some hunting lodges.
They certainly knew how to party. Do you remember that night?
Stop right there.
Oh, idyllic place at Villa on Lake Como. But we'd all got a bit fed up with each other, and Ray and Paula had a stonking row.
And Paula hurtled into our room in floods of tears. She said you were down by the lake with Ray.
Well, I'd just gone out to get some air, and I sort of bumped into him. He wanted to talk.
Sure, you say. I think we both know there was lots of stuff going on, but I was minding my own business, lying on the bed, reading Kerouac, and she stood in front of me and said she thought Ray was falling in love with you.
Completely bonkers idea.
I said I thought she was right.
Well, that probably didn't help.
Paula was frantic, almost hysterical. She suddenly pulled her dress over her head, nothing on underneath, of course, and said, "Look at me, why wouldn't he want this?"
And then she fell under your body?
You know I never had sex with her. She was completely out of it. I just thought the best thing was to put her into bed and let her sleep it off.
And that's where I found you, in bed together.
Don't play the innocent. If I hadn't been a gentleman, there was a distinct possibility that we could both have swapped partners that night.
Instead, we hitched back home the next day. Never made it to Istanbul. A few years later, we heard Paula got pregnant, and they'd converted a Gothic church into a spa. They asked us to come and try it. But you said you'd rather be lashed to the wheel of a paddle steamer.
Did I?
We'd just come back from New Orleans. Pity. We could have had some free treatments. Bit of relaxation.
I don't find it relaxing to lie on a bed with my face in a hole being bombarded with whale music, only to come out smelling like an Ottolenghi salad.
Oh, let's call them. It might be fun.
Or it might mean we'd be stretchered into rehab. I'm quite surprised they're still alive.
Beautiful Paula. With her floaty cheesecloth dresses and big hats. Ray couldn't take his eyes off her.
When he could focus, he thought she was twins for the first fortnight.
She was the noisiest flatmate ever, always singing and dancing. Oh, remember when Barbara's parents came to Sunday lunch?
Unwisely, she roped Paula into help.
I'll never forget Barbara's face when Paula danced in, plonked a dish of carrots and sprouts on the table, arranged in a very... what would you call it?
Anatomical design.
And announced, "I name this lunch the meat and two veg."
Fortunately, her parents were well into the Matthias Rose and got the giggles.
We were each so different. And yet we really looked out for each other. Paula was like Anna Madrigal from Tales of the City. Uninhibited, free-range, mother hen. The first one to go to if you needed advice.
And her advice was invariably, "Let's have sex while we think about it."
Preferably with a couple of others. If we hadn't been so bedazzled with each other, we might easily have got drawn in.
To that snake pit of writhing bodies, perish the thought.
Is it me or was it all terribly innocent?
It's you. It was utter depravity, followed by a cheese fondue and a Black Forest gâteau. Yes, it's all right. I know where I'm going.
Well, you're not going to York at the moment.
York is northwest from here as the crow flies.
You're not a crow.
What is the problem?
The problems are multifarious.
Is this about me cutting it fine, coming off the motorway?
That was one white-knuckle moment of many. You left it so late to take the slip road that you had to signal and turn left over the do-not-cross lines.
Your screaming distracted me.
My screaming was but a whisper compared with the cacophony of car horns. It was like being followed by the giggles-witten settle brass band.
I was waiting to hear where to go.
And I was telling you.
But the sat-nav said nothing.
Oh, who gives us stuff? You don't have to wait for her.
I prefer official confirmation. She can be very tardy with her instructions.
You must be setting some kind of a record for sat-nav recalculation on a single journey.
We didn't have this problem in the old days. We just got lost and then asked someone the way.
You've never asked anyone the way in your life. You would rather die than ask for directions.
Right. You drive then. I'll pull over here. Come on. We'll change places and I'll take over your role.
Which is?
Oh, I think we know.
Spell it out.
OK. Clutching the dashboard in mock panic while letting rip a constant stream of invective illustrated with historic anecdotes of slightly awkward moments on previous road trips.
Slightly awkward? That's not how I'd describe driving down a slipway and colliding with a narrowboat.
It was dark and it said one way.
That was for the boats.
OK. Whose fault was it when our entire holiday wardrobe was blown across the M62 because someone didn't shut the boot properly?
Could have been you.
We both know it wasn't. Get in.
Oh, rude. You said you were a gentleman. You've left this seat very warm.
Lucky you.
Don't talk to me.
Oh, but surely you'd appreciate me pointing out your shortcomings as a motorist at regular intervals, like you do with me.
You won't do that.
Is that an order?
No, you won't do that because you'll go to sleep. You always do if you're a passenger.
Gotta go. I hope you're ready, girls. Take a look outside. Don't mind the weather, girl. Let's take a ride. Get away. We'll leave the city, folk. They'll have to stay. Don't have to pack a thing. Just get away. Gotta go. Get away.
At the earliest opportunity, make a U-turn.
Stop repeating yourself. If you haven't got anything useful to say, you stupid bot, then zip it.
Take the first left, then take the first exit at the roundabout.
I think we both know where that's going to lead. Hibiscus Way? Again? Oh, get your act together. I'm shutting you down.
Oh, what's happening? Where are we?
Why don't you ask Miss Passive-Aggressive Satnav?
Are we lost?
I'm not lost, but Madam seems to be having trouble finding the postcode.
This is a housing estate.
Nothing gets past you.
Of epic proportions.
And I have driven every inch of it.
Why are we in the middle of a housing estate?
Because this is where Ray and Paula live.
All the houses look the same.
Thank you for your insight. Go back to sleep.
Which one is theirs?
If I knew that, do you think I'd be shouting at the sat-nav?
Have we reached their postcode?
As far as I can tell, the whole place has the same postcode.
What you need is the What Three Words app. Every 3 meter square in the world has a designated three words. For instance, the entrance to the Taj Mahal is straddle.sprayer.sponsors.
That is so not helpful at the moment.
Honeysuckle Hill, nice name.
It's not a nice name. I've seen it too many times in the last 20 minutes. And I've just had to reverse all the way out of Sisters Close because there was no turning circle.
Sisters?
All the streets are named after bloody flowering shrubs.
Might have been an idea to skip that one. Sounds like a supperating boil.
Look, I know you've had a lovely sleep and are refreshed and perky, but I haven't. And I'm utterly shattered.
Sorry, darling. I'm here to help. Laburnum Lane.
What? Where did you see that?
I haven't seen it. I've just remembered their address.
Oh! Instead of giving me false hope, could you just do something useful?
Like?
Reprogram the sat-nav, but put in the street name.
OK, where's my glasses?
Hurry up!
I've just woken up next to a Tasmanian devil. Give me a minute to get my pulse rate down. Have you tried ringing Ray and Paula?
Oh, why didn't I think of that? No signal here.
Have we got the right day?
Of course.
What time did we say we'd be there?
Over an hour ago.
You must have lost quite a bit of time because we were going to be early when I was driving.
If you hadn't gone to sleep, we would have been on time.
How'd you make that up?
We could have talked this through together.
You told me not to talk to you.
Instead, I had to listen to you snoring and her droning on, take the fourth exit, recalculating.
Right. I've done the new route. Look. Postcode is
Y... It's exactly the same postcode as before.
It must be here somewhere, then.
Maybe not. Maybe it doesn't exist. Maybe Ray and Paula are part of a cult, luring unsuspecting souls to this wasteland.
That sounds uncomfortably plausible. We're trapped in the Bermuda Triangle of housing estates.
People drive in here and are never seen again. That's why there's no phone signal.
Remember Village of the Damned?
Don't!
Oh, look, there's a human.
Where?
That woman, watering her hanging baskets.
We'll ask her.
Too late, she scuttled back inside.
Was that a twitching curtain?
Probably sizing us up for oblivion.
You have reached your destination on the right.
No, we have not. This is Oleander Avenue, not Laburnum Lane.
Maybe it's changed its name recently.
Ray would have said.
This reminds me of getting lost driving round the Paris Peripherique.
Trying to read the map as we drove along, and I said if only there was someone we could ask.
Then we looked up and there was a Frenchman lying across the bonnet, and you said, ah, here's someone.
Monsieur, s'il vous plaît?
He started shouting and claimed we'd run over him.
He staggered straight into the car.
Ah, oui, too many pernos.
Not a mark on him.
Look, we must be close to their house. If the sat-nav says we've arrived...
You think?
Look, just step out of the car for a minute.
What now? Stop and search?
I think we both need to walk around, get some air.
Don't tell me what to do.
Shut up and give me the keys.
OK. Here, have them.
Jeez, that was sensible. They've gone under my seat. Come round and pick them up.
Pick them up, your stupid self.
Right, I will.
Oh, stop elbowing me.
And there's no room for manoeuvre.
In every sense.
Blimey, there's two forest fruits down here. And that's where my baseball hat went.
It's my baseball hat.
Got him. Help me up.
No chance. Hello! Ray, is it? It is. Darling, how lovely to see you.
See my friend. See my friend.
Just a quick shower and we'll be down. Oh, I wish he'd told us someone had nicked the street sign.
He didn't know until he came out to look for us.
I couldn't believe it was Ray in a tweed jacket.
Word was that Joseph's Technicolor Dreamcoat was based on Ray's outfits in the 70s.
At least he still has the Brian May hair.
At the back, anyway.
Just because you're so hirsute.
I mean, I know people change.
We haven't.
I think if someone hadn't seen us for 30 years, they'd probably say we had. Paula's still got it, still beautiful.
She is. Great cheekbones. But I don't think the pageboy Bob does her any favours. And who knew she'd ever be seen in a pleated skirt and a zip-up fleece?
She doesn't jangle anymore.
You're right. Her arrival was always heralded by the tinkle of silver chains, rings on her fingers and bells on her toes.
She was a walking wind chime.
She says we haven't changed a bit.
That's just something people say to make you feel better. They're not going to say, blimey, you've let yourself go, are they?
No, because we haven't. And you remember that programme, Who Lives in a House Like This?
I do, but you couldn't make a guess here, because what colour would you call those curtains?
Early elastoplast.
Industrial-sized buckets of torp emulsion have been splashed about, that's for sure.
Odd, because they've always lived in glorious technicolour. Kaleidoscopic clashes, mirrored throws, blankets they got from Goa and Kashmir, prayer flags.
It is hard to believe that two such vibrant personalities live in a house like this.
I don't think they're so vibrant anymore.
Paula's still very chatty.
Oh, but she was like a tap turned on. We'd barely walked in and she was reminiscing about the trip to Istanbul.
Selective memory, though. She thought we had a lovely time.
Ray's so attentive. She's a lucky woman.
And I sense you're going to tell me why.
He looks at her a lot, pulls her chair out, gets a cushion.
Slow down, I'm taking notes.
He seems domesticated, which is a big change from lying around playing his guitar while Paula twirled about like a firefly.
Did you also notice that she looks at him adoringly quite a lot?
Really? I didn't spot that.
Perhaps you could look at me adoringly once in a while.
You have to do something worthy of adoration first.
I'll put up with you for nearly half a century.
But that's been an honour and a joy, hasn't it, darling?
Of course. Every day with you is like... Oh. Don't touch my hair or anything else.
Oh, I can't help it. Strange bedrooms makes me want to, you know...
Mark your territory. You're like a feral cat.
Look, an eiderdown.
Very retro.
But comfy. Fancy a lie down.
We can't. Paula's got the kettle on.
You know, that in itself is bizarre. They've only ever had cauldrons for Paula's potions. She made her own soap, wafted about in a fragrant cloud of patchouli.
Now the house reeks of plug-in air freshener.
You know what I noticed? There was no music. They always had music playing.
Early days. I'm sure after a few drinks, Ray will rummage through his vinyl collection and will be singing along with Stevie Winwood.
I look to the sky where an elephant's eye was looking at me from a bubblegum tree.
I'm sure that made perfect sense at the time.
And all the time you was the hole in my shoe which was letting in water.
This is weird. We were worried about being forced to stay up all night carousing, and now we're in bed by 9:30.
9:20, actually.
I'm not tired. Are you?
Don't start. We made a pact never to have sex in friends' houses after we broke the bed at Dave and Phyllis. Where's your book?
I don't want to read. I fancy a debrief.
Stop it. How many more times?
I mean a proper debrief. I want to talk about this evening.
Well, it's the first evening I've ever spent with Ray when he hasn't whipped out his guitar.
He's got arthritis, so he can't play it anymore.
Small mercies.
That's unkind.
I know, but we've suffered enough.
Hey, wasn't it a hell of a shock that they've stopped drinking?
Needn't have brought all that wine. Oh. Do you think we could ask for it back when we leave? It wasn't cheap.
Or at least he opened a bottle and poured a drink for us.
They were pretty small glasses.
And dusty.
I didn't like to grab the bottle and pour another one.
Especially when they were drinking pineapple juice.
He said they both stopped last year when they moved to York. I was about to ask him why, but he started talking about the rubbish visitors leave in the Dales, and the moment passed.
He's on the litter committee of the Residents Association, apparently.
Ironic, as he trashed so many hotel rooms and smashed a few guitars in his time.
Oh, it was an odd evening. I wanted to talk to Paula on her own, and I did try. I took the plates out to the kitchen with her, but Ray appeared and said he'd see to it. I was a guest. He's difficult to challenge.
He always was strong and bolshy, but never with Paula. In fact, he trailed along in her wake. Now they seem to have completely reversed roles.
I was hoping we'd talk when we sat down after dinner. Can you believe they'd never heard of Stormzy?
I think your reaction was a bit over the top.
I couldn't help it. Paula said, "You probably think I'm boring."
You didn't have to say, "Yes, I bloody do." That was brutal.
I actually said yes, or at least you're very different from when we were stalking the swinging blue jeans. Which is true. She laughed.
Ray didn't. Got up, looked at his watch and said, "Well, I'm sure you've had a long day," and ushered Paula out of the door.
She went without a murmur. That would never have happened in the past. She would have whacked on some Motown, opened another beer.
Sweet that they cooked dinner together.
Well, Ray loomed over Paula while she tried to cook. Like you loom over me.
I don't loom.
You do. Dishwasher stacking, recycling, cooking. You're a natural-born loomer.
There's a reason. In all those arenas, your technique is to lob random items in the general direction of travel and hope for the best.
Works for me.
That's because I bring up the rear tidying up.
Control freak.
Does it feel like that?
No, it's funny. And it means I don't have to read the instructions because I know you're right behind me.
I get the feeling it's not like that with Ray and Paula.
What do you mean?
I think there's more going on.
Like what?
When you said Ray looks at her adoringly, that's not what he's doing. He's watching her like a hawk.
I thought he was a bit impatient when she was laying the table.
Time was when she was laying on the table and Ray was licking tarama salata from her belly button. Or did I dream that?
Yes, it was guacamole.
I was actually thinking he was quite controlling about the cutlery. Almost lost his temper with her.
Really? You don't think he's... that she's a victim, do you?
I did see a bruise on her upper arm.
Oh, no! Oh, that would be really tragic. What's that?
I can't hear anything.
Someone's crying. Paula?
Where are you going?
He might be hurting her.
Wait a minute. They could be having sex.
Why would that make her cry?
Not everyone is a raving dominatrix. Some people get quite emotional.
I thought you were convinced there was something wrong.
I am. But whatever it is, I don't think it's a good idea to barge into their bedroom in the middle of the night.
It's only 9:30.
We'll talk to them separately in the morning, okay?
I can still hear crying. But listen, I don't think that's Paula.
Bye. See you.
Lots of love. Thank you so much, darlings. Bye.
I'll set the sat-nav.
Not yet. Give me a break from her bossy pedantry. I know it's left, right, left the main road, and then we head north.
OK. That was quite an unsettling visit.
And I'm none the wiser. Paula didn't even come down until we were about to leave. There's no chance to talk.
But I had a moment with Ray.
So did you tell him that we were worried about his behaviour towards Paula?
Didn't have to. He told me what was going on.
And did you suggest he gets help?
Look, why don't I drive?
No, what? I've just got behind the wheel.
Yes, but...
tell me what he said.
It might upset you. That's why I suggested taking over.
Did he get angry? If he did, I think we should go back. She may not be safe.
There's nothing wrong with him, except he's heartbroken because Paula has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Oh, no. Oh, that's so terribly sad. Why didn't they say something?
She wouldn't let him tell us. She thought if we knew, we'd treat her differently, and she didn't want that.
I certainly would have treated her differently. I wouldn't have called her boring for a start. Oh, I so regret that now. Did she remember who we were?
She's hazy on details, so Ray talked to her about the times we'd all spent together.
That's why she suddenly launched into the Istanbul trip when we arrived.
Yeah, he showed her some photos so it was fresh in her mind. It's obvious he's still in shock, poor guy. Seeing her struggling is the hardest thing, he says.
Is that why they gave up drinking?
Yeah, he thought it might help her balance, and he needed to stay alert in case anything happened. She's had some falls. The last one, only a couple of days ago, was a bad one. He nearly phoned and cancelled us, but she wouldn't let him. Wanted to see us. She still had the bruises, and he saw me noticing them and frowning. He knew then he had to tell us.
Oh, poor Ray. He must love her very much. It was him crying, wasn't it?
Yes. He said he hasn't learned to let things ride and just keep her safe, and he's cross with himself because he corrected her last night about the cutlery without thinking, and she said...
She said what?
She said he should put her in a home. You all right?
I'm just thinking through the last 24 hours and realizing we've read it all wrong. Oh, what can we do? Have they got any help?
They've got a good doctor, and he says the thing is for Paula to stick to a routine and keep calm.
Two things she's never done.
Quiet life, tranquil surroundings.
Cue the gloomy mole walls and elastoplast curtains.
Yeah. He knew she was becoming forgetful and distracted, but when they were about to start major building works on the old house, which she'd wanted for years, she was completely disinterested and didn't have any opinions.
Deafening alarm bells.
Exactly. So he knew it was serious. Ray decided they should move to a simple, modern house so he could concentrate on her, and he chose York to be near the children. But as Ray says, they have their own lives. Ray's worn out, poor guy.
Oh, I'm so sorry for them. We'll definitely keep in touch.
Yes, I said we would. Ray was very happy about that. Hey, you took the wrong exit.
I didn't.
You're going back south.
I realise that.
Scotland's that way, north. Maybe you're not the super navigator you think you are.
I know where I want to go.
Taking the scenic route.
I'm going back to Ray and Paula's.
Have we forgotten something?
Yes, I think we have.
If it's the wine, I don't think it's appropriate to ask for
it. It's not the wine.
What then?
I want to go back and give them both a big hug.
Me too. I'll drive.
While my love is near me, and I know it shall be so, till it's time to go.
Conversations from a Long Marriage
was written by Jan Etherington.
It starred Joanna Lumley
and Roger Allam.
It was produced by Claire Jones
and was a BBC Studios production.
For who knows how my love grows, and who knows where the time.
And you can join Joanna and Roger at the same time next week when Joanna decides it's time to move house.